It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The tax credit that people will get will be based on the family's income and the cost of the second lowest cost silver plan. That's why I wanted to introduce you to the metal tiers, because the silver plan turns out to be a really important one for us to be looking at, because that's how the premium tax credits are going to be calculated, based on the cost of the second lowest cost silver plan.
Health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center continues her explanation of the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll find out why Medicaid expansion is a no-lose proposition for Virginia. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 213, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Medicaid expansion is a great deal for Virginia. The federal government will pay 100% of the cost through 2016, and then no less than 90% after that. Yet, some members of the Medicaid Innovation and Reform Commission are worried about what would happen if the federal government reduced its commitment to pay for Medicaid expansion at some point in the future. This concern overlooks reality and the safeguards they themselves put in place to deal with this extremely unlikely possibility. First and most importantly, there is no precedent for Congress voting to decrease the matching rates for programs like Medicaid. This point was made clear by Dr. Vernon Smith, a Medicaid expert who testified at the August Commission meeting. Quote, "Something like that has never happened," he told the Commission. "It, in my judgment, would be extremely unlikely." Second, even if it did, the Virginia legislature already protected itself. That's because the Virginia budget that authorized expansion allows the state to automatically end it if the federal government commitment is reduced at any point in the future. Unnecessary worry about the future actions of Congress doesn't get Virginia any closer to helping the nearly 400,000 uninsured Virginians who could get coverage through Medicaid expansion. In other news, last week, the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy sent a letter signed by members of Virginia's diverse faith community to all seven statewide candidates, calling on them to return campaign contributions from car title and payday lenders. According to the Virginia Public Access Project, this year alone, the two major candidates for governor have accepted $34,000 in contributions from these lenders, their founders, or related in-kind donations. Though some protections were put in place in 2009 with the passage of the Virginia Payday Loan Act, consumer advocates believe that much work remains to be done in this arena. For example, some lenders are able to escape the terms of the law by offering new, open-end products that are not regulated nor tracked by the state, while other internet lenders are offering illegal loans to Virginians. The call from the faith community asked candidates not to accept donations from the industry so as to better remain neutral in the policy debates ahead, noting that, quote, from the Hindu Sutra to the Christian New Testament and in Jewish, Muslim, and Buddhist teaching as well, lenders are cautioned not to take advantage of the poor. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Starting October 1, 2013, 1 million uninsured Virginians can start signing up for affordable health care. Health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center explained the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable to a recent meeting of Virginia legal aid attorneys, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. Here are the second part of Jill's remarks.
So what do we know right now about Virginia's QIPS? There has already been a certification process, which was handled by Virginia's Bureau of Insurance. The Bureau now is required by state law to review and improve insurance rates for certain health insurance plans and to perform the plan management functions for the federal marketplace. So the BOI was very busy over the summer and has just recently recommended 9 different insurance companies for certification in Virginia. 4 of them are statewide, 4 of them plan to only serve residents in Fairfax region, and 1 of them is planning to serve Lynchburg only. Now, among these 9 companies, there are actually going to be 209 different qualified health plans. Now, why does that happen? Well, they had to actually design plans for different metal tiers. They had to design plans for different age ratings and different geographic ratings. They had to design plans and set rates for smokers. So when you take those, you know, 9 companies and then think about all the different iterations of policies that they have to offer, you could see how you very quickly could end up with over 200 different. And my understanding is when people are online shopping at the FFM for their policy, that the ones that are going to pop up to even consider will be ones that match that family's circumstances. So, for example, people in Richmond won't see the Piedmont plan because they're in Richmond, not Lynchburg. You know, likewise, only folks in Fairfax the ones being offered there. So just because there are 209 different plans doesn't mean that each individual has to sort through all those. I wanted to talk just a little bit, and this is fairly speculative, so don't take any of this for fact yet, but back in middle of July, those 9 companies did make presentations to the Corporation Commission describing their rates that they were planning to charge for what they viewed as their, quote, most popular plans. I don't think it's really fair to use these numbers as accurate comparisons because the companies didn't disclose, or not all the companies disclosed, which metal tier they were talking about. So it's not really apples to apple at this part. And they also don't show the geographic variables or any of the tobacco ratings. So just take all this with a grain of salt, but just to give you some idea of the possible premiums that will be charged for health insurance in Virginia, this is what we were able to learn about the individual plans. And I didn't do this for the shop exchange, but for the individual plans, here's the range of prices for a single male who's 29, for a 4-person family where the parents are both 45 and their 2 children, and then a couple at age 60. What you can see from this is that even among those 9 companies, there's a fairly wide range of costs being considered. You know, it's interesting because all the plans did their work, you know, on their own independently and then presented these rates to the Corporation Commission in July, and I think some of them were probably surprised to see you know, what some of the numbers were being used by some of the other companies. It looked like it was mainly the single individuals, the younger individuals, who were likely to see increases from what they currently pay today. But there are a lot of reasons for that. Most of all is that those essential health benefits, all the plans have to cover all of that. And I can guarantee you that the policies that young individual single people are getting today, if they're even getting private health insurance, don't come anywhere close to covering the same range of benefits. So that's part of the reason why the prices for that group has gone up. So in terms of process, all those certifications have now been sent up to the federal government, and the federal government has to review and approve before they actually confirm that these nine companies and those 209 different plans are going to be offered on Virginia's FFM. And we certainly will know what the actual rates are on October 1 when people start shopping, but we hope that we'll see some more information before then. Now let's move to the premium tax credit. Some people call this financial assistance. The main point is to reduce costs of premiums for people who have lower income. And the tax credit that people will get will be based on the family's income and the cost of the second lowest cost silver plan. So that's why I wanted to introduce you to the metal tiers, because the silver plan turns out to be a really important one for us to be looking at, because that's how the premium tax credits are going to be calculated, based on the cost of the second lowest cost silver plan. And then they look at the family's income to decide, well, how much of your income will you pay for this health insurance policy? What's the contribution that you have to make, or you're expected to make, from your income for health insurance? Anyone up to 133% of poverty pays 2% of their income. And remember my earlier slide that said that to get tax credit, you have to have at least 100% of the poverty line. There are some exceptions for legal immigrants that I'm not going to get into today, but basically it's for 100% to 133%. Those folks will pay 2% of their income. At the upper end of the scale, from 300 to 400%, people will be paying 9.5% of their income. For today, we're going to take a really easy example. We're going to talk about John, who's 32 years old, and he's single. And he makes $17,200 a year, which is 150% of the poverty line. Someone who makes 150% of the poverty line is going to be spending about 4% of their income on their health insurance. So 4% of John's income is $688 a year. Now we have to figure out what's the cost of the second lowest silver plan. Well, I pulled this out of the air, but it's close to some of those numbers we saw a minute ago for the presentations made at the State Corporation Commissions. It's actually at the higher end of that for a single person. But let's say the cost is $4,000 a year, which is $333 a month. So John is expected to pay $688 a year towards that annual cost. And so the federal tax credit makes up the difference. The federal tax credit is $3,312. So the federal government pays $3,312. John pays $688 for a $4,000 policy. Now he has a choice about, well, do you want to get that whole tax credit at the end of the year, or do you want to get help during the year to actually buy your health insurance policy? Well, someone like John, who only has 150% of the poverty line, he doesn't have a lot of extra cash. So I think someone like him is going to have to choose to get advanced payment of the premium tax credit, which means, and I'm just dividing these numbers by 12, so that means that John will pay $57.33 every month, and a tax credit can help him with his premium cost of $376 a month. So he can get the advance credits to help him pay for his premium. And another thing to know about the tax credit is that he can use that same tax credit, the $3,312 a year. He could buy a different tier plan. If he wants to go up the tier and instead of silver buy platinum or gold, then he can still use that same amount of the tax credit to buy that plan, but it would mean that he has to pay more. Likewise, if he wants to get a bronze plan, it could be, depending on the cost of a bronze plan, that the premium tax credit would cover the whole cost of the bronze plan so that he wouldn't have any out-of-pocket for premiums. So, you know, there will be flexibility and advice people need to get about how they can best use their tax credit. Now, as I said, he could choose to get the tax at the end of the tax year, and it's fully refundable. So, for example, if he didn't owe any taxes at all, he could get a tax return equal to that full tax credit. Or he could get the credit every month in advance. And people could also choose, instead of getting the $300 a month, he could get $200 a month.
You've been listening to Jill Henkin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explaining the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable, to a recent meeting of Virginia legal aid attorneys. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with the remarks of health law attorney Jill Henkin of the Virginia Poverty Law Center at a recent meeting of Virginia legal aid attorneys explaining the new health insurance marketplace.
There will be what's called a reconciliation to make sure you got the right amount. So it's real important for people during the course of the year, if there are changes in their income or family size, to make reports about those changes so your tax credits can be adjusted. Because the last thing you want, you know, let's say you started out the year unemployed, but then you ended up getting a great new job, or you got a bonus, or you got an unexpected raise. That could mean that you're getting too many tax credits, and that will be reconciled at the end of the year in your tax return. In addition to the tax credits, because remember, the tax credits are only to help you pay your monthly premiums, there are also protections for lower-income people from out-of-pocket costs, like deductibles, copayments, etc. And those special cost-sharing protections are available to people who have income below 250% of the poverty line. However, people only get those special cost-sharing protections if they buy a silver plan. So again, silver plans are good. Number one, it's how the tax credits are calculated. And number two, if this is a low-income individual, low-income family under 250% of poverty, they only get the cost-sharing protection if they buy a silver plan. And the way this actually works is that the plan actuarial value will be modified. Even though it's a silver plan, which is usually a 70% actuarial plan, for lower-income people between 100 and 150% of the poverty line, the value is going to go way up to 94% actuarial value, which is really a platinum plan. So your cost sharing is going to be way lower if you have a 94% actuarial value. With John, for example, shopping for coverage, and he's under 250% of the poverty line, when he's shopping on the marketplace, the plans he's going to be looking at are going to show, are just automatically going to have this better actuarial value. We said he was 150%. His actuarial value for a silver plan is going to be a lot better than 70%. In addition to the protections for low-income people, there are also overall limits on total cost sharing for essential health benefits. So this is for people at all income levels. There is a maximum of out-of-pocket costs that an individual or a family needs to make each year. Now, remember that these out-of-pocket costs do not include premiums. The out-of-pocket costs only are related to deductibles and cost-sharing costs. I hope one takeaway today is that, this is a great thing, and in some ways there's a lot of aspects that are streamlined and straightforward, but it's also brand new, and it's going to be confusing to a lot of people. We know that outreach and enrollment assistance is going to be really important, because people will need to sit down and get help filing the application, and then also get information about their choices of health. So there are a lot of opportunities. First of all is the federal funding for Virginia Navigators. The Virginia Poverty Law Center learned today that we were awarded a Navigator grant. It's very exciting, and we'll have 16 and a half navigators throughout Virginia working through legal aid offices and working also with the Young Invincible Project up in D.C., who's going to be doing work at Northern Virginia Community Colleges. We're really excited to be a part of that. Then 22 of Virginia's community health centers receive funding to do application assistance. And they will all be what's called certified application counselors to help people enroll in coverage. Agents and brokers are still going to play an important role. I think most agents and brokers are going to be working with the small businesses seeking insurance through the shop exchange, but many will also be working with families. Now, we're almost done. I just wanted to mention very briefly, remember at the beginning I said that the third big change that takes effect in January of 2014 is the requirement that people have insurance. And this was the main issue in the litigation that was up in the Supreme Court, people objecting to the federal requirement that people have health insurance. Well, the whole point of this is to bring everyone into the system so that prices can be reasonable. The whole idea behind any kind of insurance is spreading the risk over a large pool. And we need healthy and younger people in that pool, as well as older and sicker people in the pool, to make it all work. And that's the reason there is this mandate. And it doesn't help anybody if people don't get insurance until they need the care or end up in an emergency room. You need to be in the system and paying premiums all along for the system to work well. The mandates do apply to individuals and large employers. Large employers are those companies with over 50 times equivalent employees. But please know, and a lot of people are interested in this, they resist the idea that they're being, quote, forced into buying insurance, but there are a lot of exemptions from the individual mandate. And here's the list of those primary exemptions from the individual mandate. So if the exchange plan costs too much, if people are low income and not even expected to file for taxes, they're not required to have health insurance. And there's a sort of a catch-all financial hardship provision. People with religious objections and Native Americans. Undocumented immigrants don't have access to any of this, so they're not required to have insurance either. People who are in jail and people who are insured for less than 3 months. There won't be any penalty if, when you file your taxes by April of 2015, when you're filling out those questions, you had insurance for 9 months instead of 12 months, you still won't have to pay a penalty. And people also need to understand that the penalties are not huge. In fact, the penalty for the very first year, when all of us are getting used to this new law, is for an adult, it's the greater of $95 per adult, $47.50 for a child, or 1% of the family's income is what the penalty will be. And then in the following years, it gets more and more costly. Tax penalty gets greater, but it's still, when you look at it, it's probably less than the cost of the insurance. So it's really just it's an incentive to buy insurance, but if you don't want to, you don't have to, but you'll just pay more in taxes.
You've been listening to Jill Henkin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explaining the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Ain't gonna let in justice. That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. At least 21 whistleblower statutes protect employees who report unsafe or unhealthy working conditions. Join us next week when private attorney and friend of the show, Harris Butler, speaks about the rights of workers to blow the whistle on wrongful employer conduct in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on March 21, 2012. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.